Night on Murder, she wrote.
Well, now that we've finished carving up the artist, shall we start on the roast?
Could be. We're dealing with a theft as well as a murder.
Whatever he was working on would have been worth a fortune.
I feel a deep sense of loss.
You being a woman alone, I figured maybe you had something needed fixing.
Do you suppose I could take the boy in and make a home for him?
Tommy needs Irene, his mother.
But there's blood! I cut myself, it's nothing! Go back to bed!
Night, a bearded man watches a house. On an old-fashioned typewriter, a woman types the words "murder she wrote" on a blank sheet of paper. Intercut scenes of 60-ish blonde-haired Jessica Fletcher cycling along a sunny street, by the sea with fishing gear, at her typewriter, waving to a passing boat. She fires a gun and a banner with the word "bang" unfurls from the barrel. She types rapidly and smiles to herself. Angela Lansbury starring in Murder, She Wrote. She neatly files a sheaf of typewritten papers in a brown leather folder. This episode is called Simon Says, Colour Me Dead. A landscape of houses on coastal cliffs. Under a clear blue sky, waves roll onto the beach of a sandy cove. A fair-haired 30-ish woman and a dark-haired boy are walking down a rural tree-lined road. She's pushing a bicycle. She wears a tartan scarf and a blue rain jacket over a modest floral skirt and sensible brown shoes. He's beside her in denim jacket and jeans with his hands in his pockets. They walk in silence. Nearby, a 40-ish man with dark hair and beard observes them from a car. Neat net curtains in the bay windows of the Cabot Cove bookstore. Inside, Jessica's with a white-haired man with a beard and glasses.
Checking to see if any of your books have been discounted, Jessica?
Simon, you know I really should be annoyed with you. The season's almost over and nary a phone call. I'm beginning to think that those stories about you becoming a recluse are true.
They are. I should know. I started them myself.
Oh, well, that's no reason to neglect your friends.
I've been very busy, my girl. Work, work, and more work.
Dozens of new seascapes piled up against the studio walls.
A few, but mostly I've been reworking one canvas. Something very special.
Oh, Jessica! What a coincidence!
Eleanor.
I just came in to buy one of your books.
My books? I thought I gave you and Simon a copy of every one.
I was going to phone you. We really have seen nothing of each other all summer.
I know.
Don't feel slighted. She's been ignoring me as well.
Well, weekends at the Cove are about all I can manage. I'm having the duplex redone, and it's a full-time job dealing with the galleries and the journalists.
I deal with the art. Eleanor handles the commerce.
Sounds like a good arrangement. Otherwise, Simon would never have any time to paint.
Left to his own devices, Simon wouldn't see anyone, which is a situation I intend to correct. Would you be free to come over for a small, informal dinner party tonight, Jessica?
Oh, my goodness, that sounds delightful. I'd love to.
Well, which reminds me, I've got some marketing to do. 8 o'clock, elegant casual?
Fine.
Great. Bye-bye.
Oh, and I have got to pop in and see Amos Tupper and tell him that the Founders' Day committee meeting has been postponed. He'll be heading off for lunch. Goodbye, Simon.
If you ask me, stealing another boy's bicycle is a serious matter, Amos.
Well, now, the way it looks to me, it...
Tommy didn't steal your son's bike. He found it.
Where exactly did you find it, Tommy?
Behind the softball field, in the tall grass.
Oh, guess Rodney must have left it there, Miss Summers. You must not have missed it, because we never got a report.
That has nothing to do with it. The fact that Mrs. Rutledge's ragamuffin kid here took it home makes it theft.
Well, it was starting to rain, and I didn't want it to get rusty.
With the kind of trash that's been moving into Cabot Cove lately, we're gonna have to lock everything up around here.
We may be poor, Mrs. Summers. We are not trash.
Got no father, has he?
His father died before he was born.
Now, just hold on here. Now, the fact that Irene, Miss Rutledge, brought the bike in here looking for its rightful owner, well, that makes it a simple matter of lost and found in my book, and as far as I'm concerned, that's the end of it.
Mrs. Summers to Jessica.
Next thing you know, he'll take somebody's car for a joyride.
Thank you, Sheriff. Hope we didn't cause you a lot of trouble.
No trouble. Lucky Tommy found it before somebody else. And lucky he had a mother who knew where to bring it.
They head out.
Hello, Mrs. Rutledge.
Miss Fletcher.
Oh, by the way, I wonder if you'd be available to help out at the Founders' Day picnic. I'm looking for volunteers.
Oh,
I don't know.
Well, why don't you think about it and let me know?
With a reluctant smile, Irene leaves the sheriff's office with Tommy.
I notice Martha's tongue has lost none of its sting.
Poor little guy. Tommy's about the only kid in town without a bicycle. When I was about his age, I found a pair of skates at the mill pond. Kept hoping that nobody would claim them. But somebody did.
You know, Amos, I've got an old bike in my garage. Frank used to ride it.
Sheriff Amos Tupper smiles knowingly. Irene's hanging out washing in her garden.
Afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Name's Cash Logan, ma'am. I do odd jobs around here. Looks at your place, you being a woman alone. I figured maybe you had something needed fixing.
Thank you, Mr. Logan, but I'm afraid I can't afford any repairs right now.
Oh, I ain't no hurry to get paid or nothing.
Hello, Mrs. Rutledge.
They spot Jessica with a bike.
Well, you ever need any help with anything, you keep me in mind, okay? It's a fine-looking boy you got there.
Logan, who'd been watching them from his pickup, ruffles Tommy's hair and walks away. Irene looks wary.
Mrs. Fletcher, if you've come about to the picnic volunteer work, I don't have anything proper to wear.
Oh, we'll just be wearing sweaters and jeans.
Well, maybe next time. Thanks for asking.
Speaking of clothes, I was just clearing out my garage, and I found this old bicycle that my husband used to ride. I really don't have any room for it anymore, and I wondered if Tommy might have some use for it. We'd have to lower the seat, of course.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Fletcher. We can't afford to buy the bike, and we don't take charity.
Oh, of course not. Oh, my goodness, I'm afraid it's my turn to be embarrassed. I should have started at the beginning. You see, the weeds are just taking over my yard. And, well, I wondered if Tommy might come over and help me to dig them out after school. I thought maybe he might take the bicycle in payment.
Could I, Mom? All right.
Great. Well, then that's settled. Tommy, you could keep the bicycle here and just ride it over to my house.
Yeah. Well, since you've been kind enough to pay a visit, won't you come in for some coffee?
Oh, I'd love a cup, thanks.
They enter the large ramshackle clapboard house while Tommy checks the bike. Night.
This absolutely scruffy fellow comes off Fifth Avenue and into my gallery. I thought he'd been sleeping in Central Park.
He probably came in to get out of the cold.
Well, I had already buzzed security when he had picked out six of Simon's seascapes and wrote me a check in seven figures.
I know. He bound somebody's checkbook.
Yeah, more likely mugged someone.
Naturally, I don't waste time on people of that ilk. I'd already refused his check and had him hustled out.
Is it just instinct, or is there a little twist to this story?
Your instincts do not fail you, Jessica. The next morning, I just happened to be glancing at the Times, and there was this gentleman's picture. He was giving a rock concert at Madison Square Garden.
So you see, you can't always judge a man by his clothes.
Seven figures. I feel a deep sense of loss, Felix.
Not to mention my commission.
You know, Simon, when you gave me that little seascape 20 years ago, I had no idea.
I hope you have it well insured.
If you ever decide to part with it, let me know.
Not on your life.
You know, George and I have three Simon Thanes.
Mm-hmm. Best investment we ever made. Makes the Dow Jones look sick.
You know, even though we're only summer people here at the Cove, I think we ought to arrange some kind of Simon Thane art festival. Don't you agree, Jessica?
Well,
good Lord, no. That would be the end of my privacy.
Well, Simon lets nothing interfere with his work.
Just what have you been up to this summer, Simon? You've hardly sent me anything.
I'm trying something different. It might just be the very best thing I've ever done.
Perhaps less profitable.
An awkward moment round the dinner table as they glance at Eleanor.
It sounds interesting. Can we see it?
I'm afraid that Simon is becoming secretive in his golden years, Jessica. Even I haven't seen it. He keeps it covered up out there in the studio.
Felix is sitting next to Jessica.
A pinch of mystery always adds luster to an artist's aura, not to mention value. I shall immediately begin to scatter hints among the board members of the Met.
Thank you, Felix. The role of the artist is always to break new ground. Otherwise, he may as well go into commercial illustration and paint beer bottles for a living. Oh. Well, thank you, Irene.
Oh, I must say that looks absolutely mouthwatering.
Well, now that we've finished carving up the artist, shall we start on the roast?
Felix shoots Eleanor a meaningful glance. Outside, Logan's tying down furniture in the back of his pickup. He cuts through a length of rope with a hunting knife. He glances over at the house set amid trees. Irene's clearing the dinner table. George.
First-class dinner, Eleanor.
Thank you, George. Actually, the girl did everything.
Oh, you must give us her number.
Yes, Irene, it was simply delicious.
Oh, George, please don't choke us all with that vile cigar smoke.
Has everyone noticed what a purist Carol has become in only a month since she gave up that vile cigarette smoke?
Simon.
All rumors to the contrary, I value an evening like this with friends, especially old and dear friends. But of course, I must be reminded of how much I enjoy it by a lovely lady who has enriched my life beyond measure. A wonderful woman who has provided me with love and support, even though on occasion we disagree.
At Eleanor's end of the table, Simon pours a drink from a decanter and raises his glass.
To Eleanor. Without whom I would be nothing.
She smiles warmly and the other guests raise their glasses.
May I tell them?
Of course.
Simon and I are leaving in 2 weeks for 1 month in Italy.
A second honeymoon.
Oh, how lovely.
The man's a veritable fountain of creative juices.
Why, Eleanor, now who's being secretive? You didn't even tell me, your closest friend.
My goodness, Midnight. Well, they do say the mark of a perfect guest is to know when to leave.
Mm. I was going to have another brandy.
Well, George, you've had enough to open your own monastery. And I'm afraid I have one of those annoying headaches coming on.
Can I give you a hand to tidy up the kitchen, Eleanor?
Oh, heavens no, Jessica. The girl will take care of it.
Can I give you a ride home, Jessica? I'm staying at Hill House.
Well, Felix, that's very kind. Thank you.
Pleasure.
A golden retriever rummages round bins in the deserted street. Nearby, an officer in a parked car marked Cabot's Cove Sheriff's Office eats a sandwich. He glances along the rural street and spots Irene walking with her hands stuffed in the pockets of her tightly belted coat. He checks his watch. It's 1:10 a.m. She gets home and takes off her coat in the kitchen. There are two deep red patches on the skirt of her dress. She looks distressed and hurries to the sink. She washes her hands and scrubs at her skirt. Behind her, Tommy comes in pajamas, rubbing his eyes.
Mom, what's wrong?
Nothing. Go back to bed.
But there's blood.
I cut myself. It's nothing. Go back to bed!
He watches her for a moment, then goes out to the hallway. He looks upset and frowns in puzzlement. Day. A patrol car speeds down a country road. It pulls into the drive in front of Eleanor and Simon Thane's house, and two officers get out and head indoors. Eleanor's in Simon's studio in her dressing gown. Amos and the other officer enter. Amos tries to comfort her, then spots something on the floor. He walks over and hunkers down.
I say the knife went right through his heart. He couldn't have lasted more than a couple of seconds. Oh,
who would have wanted to kill that gentle, gifted man? Seth, when do you think he died?
Oh, he can't put too fine a point on these sorts of things. I'd say somewhere between, midnight, 2 a.m.
Looks like it was a carving knife.
Simon used it to carve the rack of lamb last night.
Amos looks at Jessica.
Well... no sign of a break-in. Miss Thane says the door was standing open when she discovered the body this morning.
That's strange.
What's that?
Well, everything's ready for painting. The oil colors on the palette are wet. But there's no picture on the easel.
Everything's dry back here, too. I always did like Simon's work.
I have a calendar in my office. Some of his best stuff on it.
Dr. Seth Hazlitt wipes his glasses. Jessica's going through clothes on a hat stand.
All his things. As if he was just going to walk in, put on his smock and light up his pipe.
With a wistful look, she plays with a chunky gold lighter.
One of the hardest things about losing a husband is all the little things he leaves behind. Sooner or later, when the pain subsides, you have to put him away.
She puts the lighter in the jacket. Felix, Amos and Jessica in the living room with Eleanor.
We had the airline tickets, reservations and a little pensione in Florence. I can't believe he's gone.
Eleanor, I'm so sorry.
If there's anything I can do, any business details I can take off your shoulder.
I'm sorry, but I gotta ask some questions, Miss Thane. When was the last time you saw your husband alive?
After everybody had left. I guess it was a little after midnight. Simon said he had some work to do out in the studio. I went up to bed.
Was that usual, him working at night?
No, he worked at all hours. Anyway, I woke up this morning, and I realized that he hadn't come to bed. So I went out to the studio looking for him.
Eleanor, there was no sign in the studio of any painting in progress. Did you by any chance remove it for safekeeping?
No. All I saw was Simon lying on the floor.
Could be. We're dealing with a theft as well as a murder.
Whatever he was working on would have been worth a fortune. Sheriff, I suggest an inventory be made of the studio as quickly as possible.
Yeah, good idea. Just who was here last night?
Well, George and Carol. Selby were here.
Oh, right, that lawyer fella from Boston and his wife, the one that was talking about having a Simon Thane art festival at the town meeting.
They were the first to leave.
And I dropped Jessica off on my way back to Hill House.
Anybody else?
Oh, only the six of us. Oh, except that girl, of course.
Irene Rutledge.
Yeah, she was still cleaning up in the kitchen when I went up to bed.
The sheriff's office.
Well, Amos, the autopsy only confirms what I've already told you. Massive penetration of the left ventricle. Must have killed him in seconds.
But nothing else. No marks, no bruises.
Nothing. A little paint on the knife.
Paint?
Yeah. Smeared all over the blade, underneath the blood. Pinkish, I expect it was oil paint.
That's very strange.
You say Simon used it to carve the roast?
Well, then Irene Rutledge must have handled it when she cleaned up.
Did you say Irene Rutledge?
Yes.
What about it?
Well, I saw her on the street last night, not far from Thane's place.
When was that?
Just after 1 a.m.
Amos, if Irene was still there at 1 o'clock, 1 hour after everyone else left, she might have seen or heard something.
Right. Maybe we should go have a talk with her.
No, I didn't see anyone or hear anything before I left.
And what time was that, Miss Rutledge?
Just after midnight.
Are you sure about that? I mean, could it have been more like 1 o'clock?
No, I'm certain. I checked. I get paid by the hour. Mrs. Thane went up to bed, so I latched the door and let myself out and went straight home.
Well, that's not what...
Irene, all these boxes, are you moving?
Yes, I thought I could find a job in Portland.
Looks like you're packing up in a hurry. What's this?
Amos finds a couple of sketches of Irene.
Oh. Those are lovely.
Where'd you get these, Miss Rutledge?
Mr. Thane threw them away.
Now, just hold on here. Some valuable artwork is missing from Thane's studio.
Irene, these are drawings of you and signed by Simon Thane.
But he was going to throw them away. When I admired them, he signed them and gave them to me.
Tommy enters.
She didn't steal them. My mom doesn't steal.
Now, just take it easy, son. Were you awake when your mom came home last night?
She came home at 12 o'clock, just like she told you. I remember because I looked at the clock.
Sheriff, I found this out back stuff in the trash barrel.
Irene, isn't that the dress you wore last night?
Looks like blood, Sheriff.
She cut her finger on a glass I broke. That's all it was.
Must have healed pretty quick. I'm afraid I'm going to have to take the dress in for lab analysis, Miss Rutledge, and I'm Gonna have to ask you not to leave town till we get this sorted out.
She lied about what time she got home.
Yeah, and Tommy backed her up.
Of course he did. The boy was trying to protect his mom. You can't blame him for that.
That's what troubles me, Amos. I mean, why would he think that his mother needed protecting? They're both frightened. They're concealing something.
Maybe it was those drawings. Eleanor Thane tells me that Irene came over to Thane's place a couple times a week to cook and clean, seeing as how Mrs. Thane was only there on weekends.
Maybe Simon did give her those drawings. I mean, he gave me a painting.
And Felix Caslaw, that art dealer fella, he says those sketches are worth thousands if they're signed by Thane. Now, what if she was stealing works of art from him?
Amos, that doesn't make any sense. If Irene was stealing valuable artworks, why doesn't she have the money to buy Tommy a bicycle?
Oh. Poor little guy. Reminds me of me when I was a kid.
You got no right to bring me in. Sheriff, I pulled Cash Logan here over for running a stop sign. Found this in the back of his truck. Well, just might be that picture stolen by Thane's murderer.
Amos studies the large ripped canvas of a female nude.
And it's still wet. Hey, it could be this is a picture of Irene Rutledge.
Yeah, but with the face missing, it's hard to tell.
Sheriff, telephone.
Mr. Logan, where did you get this?
I found it. I was taking a load to the dump earlier this morning. It was stuffed in an old carton.
I see, but why did you take it?
Somebody threw it away, but I figured it being a Simon Thane painting, it might still be worth something.
How did you know that it was a Simon Thane painting?
He was carrying this in his belt under his coat.
A knife.
I use it in my work for cutting rope. They know law against that.
Thanks a lot. Well, that was the police lab in Portland. The blood on Irene Rutledge's dress matches Simon Thane's in all points. Afraid I'm going to have to arrest her for murder.
Jessica notices Logan wincing.
Why would I kill Mr. Thane?
I am sorry, Miss Rutledge, but you lied about what time you left Thane's place. Now, you sure had access to the murder weapon, and his blood was all over your clothes.
But I had no reason to kill Mr. Thane. He's been very good to me.
Could be you repaid him by stealing those drawings. Maybe he caught you at it.
No!
Amos, there could be another explanation.
Well, if there is, I'd sure like to hear it.
Irene, did you pose for Mr. Thane?
No.
But you must have posed for those charcoal drawings that you said that he gave to you.
I never posed. He just did some sketches while I was working around the place.
Did you see something last night? Perhaps something that you were afraid to tell us about?
No, I didn't see anything.
Well, that's your final word, Miss Rutledge. I got no choice. Lock her up.
Irene looks shocked and stares at Amos with wide blue eyes. She gets to her feet.
What about my son?
Well, I'll look after him. At least until we sort this thing out.
The officer leads Irene away. Amos checks the doors closed and steps over to Jessica.
She's lying. It's as plain as the nose on your face.
Yes, she's certainly concealing something.
It has all the earmarks of a crime of passion.
Passion?
Oh, I know that Simon Thane is something of an institution around here. But just because there's a little snow on the roof don't mean that there's no fire in the hearth, if you get my drift.
Oh, I get your drift, Amos. I just think your anchor is slipping.
That oil painting, the one that was slashed, was of a lady in the altogether. Could be that there was some hanky-panky going on between Thane and his model.
Amos, Simon Thane was an artist. To him, his model was more likely a... Well, an interesting composition of line, color, and shading.
Maybe so. But when a lady takes her clothes off, well, human nature being what it is.
Gray-haired Amos looks embarrassed. Tommy's in Jessica's garden.
I know he's frightened, but he won't allow himself to show it.
No, he's a tough little guy. Probably already had his share of hard knocks.
Amos, what do you think will happen to Tommy if Irene is convicted?
Well... Seeing as how his father's dead and Irene's got no other living kin, he'll probably go to an orphanage. Maybe a foster home if he's lucky.
I just can't believe that Irene is guilty.
I was thinking of going down to the diner for a burger. Maybe Tommy would like to go along, huh? Boy, that age needs lots of nourishment.
Well, that's a good idea. And I'll look into what Irene needs.
What?
A good lawyer.
Oh, good.
Carol Selby.
I'm so glad you dropped by.
You know, with Simon's tragic passing, I do think we should arrange a commemorative showing of his works. Now, I know that George and I would be honored to lend ours, and I think you would be the perfect person to organize it, Jessica.
And you do have a Thane original, too, Jessica. It might be just the thing to put Cabot Cove on the map.
Well, it's certainly an interesting idea, but perhaps a little premature under the circumstances.
Oh, yeah, I see your point, Jessica. There may be a whiff of scandal concerning that Rutledge woman.
Actually, George, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I mean, Irene needs a good lawyer. And George, obviously, you're one of the best.
But my practice in Boston takes all my time. I mean, normally I'm only here on the weekends.
Well, obviously there's no money in it. But the case would undoubtedly attract national attention.
Yes, George? Now, no matter what that poor woman did, she's entitled to a fair trial.
Well, I suppose I could at least look into it.
Oh, good. Then it's settled. Oh, dear, I said I'd drop in and see Eleanor.
I've got to run, too.
Oh. And there's that poor little boy to consider. What's his name?
Tommy.
Can I offer you a lift, Jessica?
Well, if it's not too much trouble, George.
George, couldn't you pull some strings and find some private school that would take the boy?
I'll make some phone calls.
They head to his car.
Well, if there's anything George and I can do to help.
Well, maybe George can prove that she's innocent.
Pretty Carol looks nonplussed as Jessica gets in George's BMW. He drops her off by the Thane's house.
Thank you.
She heads up to the house where Eleanor's on the phone.
No, it's too soon for me to even think about a showing. But look, you'll have to talk to Felix about that. Look, we'll discuss it in a few weeks. I've got to go now. Right. Oh, Jessica, how sweet of you.
Are you feeling a little better?
Oh, keeping busy helps.
Good.
There's so much to do. Felix tells me they've arrested that woman.
Oh, you mean Irene?
Yes, Irene.
Well, I don't think all the facts are known. I mean, she might be innocent.
Really? Do you have another theory?
Oh, no. Just, nagging doubts.
About what?
Well, I'm curious about something. Did a man named Cash Logan ever do any odd jobs around here for Simon?
Well, being that I only come up here on weekends, I never met him, but yes, I seem to remember Simon mentioning his name to me. Bringing firewood, hauling the rubbish, that kind of thing.
He's the one who found the slashed picture, the nude study.
Oh, that was so strange. A total surprise to me.
Then you didn't know who was posing for him?
I assumed it was Irene. I mean, I heard about the sketches.
Yes, well, the same thought had occurred to me. But strangely enough, she denied it. It's very puzzling. Oh, by the way, was that Felix Caslaw's car I noticed outside?
Yes, he's here.
It must be such a comfort having an old friend of the family close by at a time like this.
Well, yes, he's out in the studio doing an inventory of Simon's pictures.
Jessica's found a matchbox on a table. The label reads Baby Doe's Dress Goods. She sneaks up on Felix in the studio and looks over his shoulder as he paints the name Thane at the bottom of a picture.
Sorry, did I startle you?
Jessica, you really shouldn't creep up on people.
Felix, the door was wide open and I didn't want to break your concentration. You've got his signature down very well.
Well, you see, Jessica, since these are unquestionably Thane paintings, the signature is merely a technicality.
And a signed Simon Thane is technically more valuable than an unsigned one.
Precisely. Simon rarely signed his work until he packed it off to my gallery. It's a question of protecting Eleanor's interest in the estate. Eleanor's given her approval, of course.
Oh, of course.
I'm glad you understand.
Oh, there are some subtleties about the art business that I will never understand.
Yes, well, was there something you wanted to see me about?
Yes, there was. The painting that was stolen, the slashed painting. I don't remember. Did Simon sign it?
Sorry, I never saw that painting.
Oh, yes, of course. How forgetful of me. Nobody saw the painting except Simon, of course. Certainly the model and whoever murdered him.
You mean the Rutledge woman?
Oh, look. What a handsome lighter. Is it yours?
I don't smoke.
Perhaps it belonged to Simon. Well, I'll give it to Eleanor. I'm sure she'd want to have it.
There's no doubt in your mind, is there, that Irene Rutledge killed Simon?
Well, until everything is brought out into the open, there's always some doubt. Well, don't let me keep you from your work.
She's in Irene's cell at the sheriff's office.
How's my son?
He's fine. And thanks to Amos Tupper, he's eaten very well.
I don't know how to thank you for taking care of him.
No trouble at all.
Mrs. Fletcher, Jessica, can't you help us?
Irene, I want to help you. But I can't if you won't tell me the truth.
Then I'm afraid.
Yes, I know that. Irene, what really happened?
Irene watches her and seems to reflect.
Mrs. Thane had gone to bed. So when I finished cleaning up in the kitchen, I went out to the studio to see Mr. Thane, to get paid.
And?
Well, he was lying on the floor. I didn't know what was wrong. I went to him, turned him over. There was blood on my hands.
And he'd been stabbed with a carving knife.
He was dead. I panicked. I ran away.
But Irene, why didn't you telephone the sheriff or at least call Mrs. Thane?
No, I couldn't get involved. I just couldn't.
But you had done nothing. Why were you so frightened?
I didn't kill him, Mrs. Fletcher. You must believe that.
Try to remember. Was there a painting on the easel?
No, the easel was empty.
And the knife, hadn't it been in the kitchen?
Well, I remember carrying it to the kitchen when I cleared the table, but no, it wasn't there when I put things away.
Irene, are you telling me everything?
Yes.
Jessica looks skeptical. Tommy and Amos are weeding.
The roots, Tommy. Make sure you get right down to the roots.
Jessica walks over.
Oh! Just showing Tommy here the best technique for pulling up weeds. Boy sort of needs a man to show him how to get the hang of things.
Yes, it's a vanishing skill. Hello, Tommy.
Hi. Sheriff Tupper was just telling me how he broke the passing record at the Cabot Cove Panthers championship game.
It was so long ago, you probably don't remember.
Oh, is that the year they made you the captain of the team, Amos?
Yeah. And after the game, they carried him off the field on their shoulders.
Oh, my goodness. So long ago, I'd forgotten. Isn't it time you two took a break?
Oh, right. Tommy, why don't you hop on your bike there and go on down and get us a couple ice cream cones and make mine raspberry, huh?
I'll be back before they melt.
He mounts the bike.
Amos.
Looks like you got a little something there on your jacket, Miss Fletcher.
There's a yellow spot on the sleeve of her red jacket.
Oil paint. Probably brushed up against something at Thane's studio.
Amos, I was just talking to Irene. There's something I have to tell you.
Excuse me just a minute.
A patrol car pulls up.
Sheriff, this just came in for your special delivery. Thought you might want to see her right away.
Been doing a little checking up on Irene and Tommy's background.
His face falls as he reads.
Amos, what is it?
According to the hospital records where Tommy was born, his mother died in childbirth.
Jessica frowns.
If Tommy's mother died in childbirth, then who exactly are you, Miss Rutledge, if that's what your name is?
Is that what you've been hiding, Irene?
Irene Rutledge was a friend. She was very sweet, very scared. She had no family, no husband, and she was pregnant. And we became very close. When she died, I told the people at the hospital that I was her sister, and I took the baby, and I left town. And I've been running ever since.
So you took not only her baby, but her name.
And is that why you were afraid to become involved in Simon Thane's murder?
I wanted to adopt him legally. I even tried once, but I don't have any money. I'm not married. I just kept moving.
And Tommy doesn't know. He thinks you're his mother.
Well, if that don't beat all.
And now they're gonna take him away from me.
Well, we'll deal with that later. Right now, you're facing a murder charge. Isn't there anything you remember about that night? Even something insignificant?
Well, While I was cleaning up in the kitchen, I thought I heard a car door slam.
Sheriff, this just came in over the teletype.
The officer hands Amos a piece of paper.
Oh, rap sheet on Cash Logan. He knifed some fella in a bar fight, nearly killed him. Got 10 years in the pen for aggravated assault.
According to these dates, he came to Cabot Cove soon after he was released.
Cash hasn't been in any trouble here. But that business about knifing somebody.
Outside.
Poor little Tommy. What's gonna happen to him now?
You really like him, don't you, Amos?
I see a lot of my own childhood in that boy. I was raised by a widowed mother, deep in the Depression. Not much money. Never could afford the kind of stuff other kids had.
Really?
Do you suppose I could take the boy in and make a home for him?
Tommy needs Irene, his mother.
But she isn't even his real mother.
Well, only two of us know that, Amos. And as far as I'm concerned...
Sheriff Tupper!
Tommy?
I got the football, Sheriff.
Yeah.
Sheriff Tupper's gonna show me how to throw a 50-yard spiral.
Ooh. Well, might be a tad rusty after all these years.
Here's your change, Sheriff.
Okay, let's go.
Amos throws Tommy the ball.
There you go.
Jessica stands by the water, watching them.
Here it comes. Rip the laces now, the laces.
In the laces?
Tommy throws the oval ball.
Ah. Okay, now you go out for a long one. This way. Here it comes. Oh! Sorry.
Amos throws the ball some distance, and Logan picks it up.
Doing pretty good there, Tommy. Give you a tip. Use both hands. Pull it into your chest.
Jessica watches as Logan gives Tommy the ball and pats him on the back. She looks thoughtful. Logan finds a chair on a pile of junk by the roadside. He puts it in his pickup as Jessica cycles up.
A little bit of glue in that chair will be as good as new.
Maybe.
Some things can be fixed and some can't. Like that painting you picked up at the dump?
What about it?
There's no way that that can be repaired, you know. Why did you really pick it up?
I already explained all that to the sheriff.
Was it because you thought that Irene was somehow involved in Simon Thane's murder?
I don't know what you're talking about, ma'am.
Really? Is it merely coincidence that you went to prison just before Tommy was born and that you came here to Cabot Cove when you were released?
I did my time. Ain't nobody gonna touch me here.
I think you came to Cabot Cove to find a woman named Irene Rutledge and her child. You're Tommy's father, aren't you?
Ain't no kid deserves an ex-con for a father. I ain't saying I am. Supposing 11 years ago I cut up some loudmouthed drunk, insulted the woman who was carrying my child. Supposing that that woman died when I was in jail. Well, I'd do just about anything and make sure nothing ever happened to that boy.
Even murder?
Maybe. If I really was the father. Which I ain't.
Yes. Well, Oh, you seem to have some paint on your jacket.
Yeah. Must have got it when I was handling that wet painting.
Yes, yes. Of course. Thank you, Mr. Logan.
He looks puzzled. She hurries away and gets on her bike. She pushes the bike onto the drive of the Selby's house. She parks, takes her bag from the front basket and glances at the house. Then she opens the driver's door of George's BMW. There's a smudge of yellow paint on the door. She's having tea with the Selbys.
Isn't it wonderful, Jessica? George has found a boarding school that will accept Tommy. And there's no reason any of his peers will ever have to know. Yeah, about his mother, I mean.
Obviously, you've gone to a great deal of trouble.
Now I persuaded one of the bright young men in my office to handle her case.
Dear, how good sakes, I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, no, the fabric's protected. It'll wipe right off.
She hides the lighter in the sofa.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. What's this? Huh. Somebody's lighter.
So that's what became of my lighter. Yes, I would have taken Irene's case myself. You see, I already have a very full calendar.
I don't think that Irene's case will come to trial.
You mean she's confessed?
No, I mean that someone else killed Simon.
Good heavens. Do you know who?
Yes, I'm afraid I do. You see, Irene heard a car door slam when she was clearing up the dishes. The killer must have taken Simon's picture away with him in the car.
Really, Jessica? Are you sure?
Fairly sure. It's logical. Wet oil paint makes such a mess. I even got some of it on the sleeve of this jacket. This is the same jacket I was wearing, George, when you gave me a lift in your car.
The oil paint in my car? What?
Someone must have tried to clean it up, but some was still left on the armrest.
Are you saying that I murdered Simon?
I'm sorry, George. That lighter, your lighter, I didn't find it between those cushions. That lighter was in Simon's studio, and it's not the sort of lighter that a pipe smoker uses.
But I haven't seen this lighter in months. Well, when Carol and I were both smoking, we had them all over the place. I mean, we were always losing them.
Carol stares at Jessica, who looks puzzled.
George, I'm so sorry.
Jessica, what is this all about?
I came here thinking you were the murderer, but of course, it wasn't Irene who was posing for Simon.
Don't be ridiculous.
Carol? Oh, Jessica, that's nonsense.
No, I don't think so. You were always such a devoted admirer of Simon's genius. I don't know why it took me so long to put this together. The cigarette lighter was in the pocket of Simon's dressing gown. The same gown that he lent you when you were posing, which obviously started before you gave up smoking.
Carol?
Oh, George, don't look at me like that.
While I was in Boston during the week, you were having an affair with Simon.
It wasn't like that. We shared something spiritual.
Yes. A long summer of intimacy with a man that you greatly admired.
Oh, he was the most exciting thing that had ever happened to me. His creative energy, his excitement.
Carol seems carried away.
I suppose I fell in love with him. And I thought he felt the same thing for me. And then the night of the party, I realized it was Eleanor he loved and always had.
And you suddenly developed a headache.
I had made a fool of myself. And when that painting was made public, everyone would know. I had to destroy that painting. I waited until I thought everyone had left, and then I drove back. And while Irene was cleaning up, I went in through the kitchen. She was still clearing the table. And I found the butcher knife and slipped out to the studio.
In silent flashback, Carol enters the studio, approaches the nude on the easel and slashes it. Behind her, Simon runs in, grabs her and tries to stop her. Still brandishing the knife, she looks stunned as he collapses to the floor.
It was the finest thing that ever touched my life. And I killed him.
George looks pained. Amos at Jessica's house.
So that's how you got the paint smudge on your jacket.
Yes. Carol carried the portrait to the dump in the car after tearing out the piece of canvas that showed her face.
Yeah. She left it there where she figured it'd be burned, but Cash Logan found it.
Yes, apparently she tried to clean up the car so that George wouldn't know, but she missed a smudge, which I brought away on my jacket.
That's all well and good. But what am I going to do about the fact that Irene Rutledge has no legal claim to Tommy?
Amos, if I were you, I would develop amnesia.
Save a lot of paperwork, too.
Hello? Oh, hi there, Tommy. Hello. Irene?
Jessica, we just stopped by to thank you again for everything you've done.
Oh, my goodness. Would you like some coffee?
No, we really can't stay.
Sheriff? It looks like I won't be able to go fishing with you Saturday.
No? Why not?
Cash Logan has invited us to go on a picnic. We had a long talk about things. He's really a very nice man.
I think I ought to go along.
Well, you being the man of the family, Tommy, I certainly understand. Don't you, Amos?
Well...
Anyway, thanks again. Come on, Tommy.
Bye. See you.
Amos looks downcast and sits at the table.
I'm not sure I like the idea of her keeping company with the likes of that Cash Logan.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they started seeing quite a lot of each other. How about some more coffee, Amos? And I will tell you something else to put into your amnesia file.
ITFC Audio Description.
Thank you.